Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house. When you came in, you were able to pick up a sheet like this. If not, that little device we were playing with earlier, you can hunt it up on there too on the app if you want to. Welcome to the second most important Sunday of the year, I think, for Grace Church. You say, what was the first most important? I think when we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's always the most important day of the year, because we're every Sunday we celebrate His resurrection, but we've put aside one Sunday a year, and we did it last week. Death's no longer the undefeated enemy of all humanity, and sin did not have the last word, because thank God Jesus paid for our sin. He died and He rose again. Amen. And so we are happy about that. But today may be the second most important day on our church calendar, and it has to do with how we go about getting the information out that Jesus has risen from the dead, that He did pay for our sin debt. And so we're going to talk about how we do things here at Grace Church. Now, a few months back, when there was a lot fewer people coming, we gave out this card to everybody that was here. How many of you do not have this card right here? You don't have one of these. Would you just stick your hand up if you don't have one of these? Look, guys, these hands are up. Run to them. I need some ushers to grab those cards and just run to these people. I want you to have this card in your hand. It is the Connect at Grace card, and it kind of tells how we operate. It's our Grace Church operating system. It just has three steps on there: step into grace, step up at grace, and step out with grace. And we want everybody that doesn't have one to have one, because in truth, if you have this in your hand, you have the sermon outline in your hand. And so I want you to have that this morning. I want to go to a very familiar, keep your hands up. There's some still, keep your hands up around the room there. They'll get to you as soon as they can. I want to go to a real familiar passage of Scripture this morning, to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to talk about taking the next step. Take the next step. And you say, well, what do you mean, take the next step? Well, I think mistakenly we get it in our mind that, you know, the destination in Christianity is to help people come to that first step of faith. We help people come to the place of placing their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's the day they are saved, they are justified, and they are born into the family of God. Well, that is actually the doorway to the rest of our Christian experience and the rest of our life. That's not the destination, that's the doorway. And so in our Christian lives, we are able to take the next step that comes in front of us, that God brings up to us, and we continue to take the next step. There's always a next step to take. So this morning, if I can make it clear, you might be 85 years old. There is still a next step in your Christian experience, a next step in your growth, and a next step in becoming closer to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're 8 years old this morning, there's obviously a next step in your Christian experience and a next step in your growth. I want to talk about this morning, about taking the next step. So let's stand, let's read this passage of Scripture. I believe it will be a tremendous, tremendous blessing to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 47. If you're our guest today, welcome. If you're online, welcome. And we read the Word of God together. In honor we stand. Together we read, so that we're hearing it, reading it, and then taking it in as well. So let's read verse 36 through 47, and let's begin now. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Some have called that the birthday of the church. Well, it was certainly when it was officially started with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, before you're seated, I'll just say that I went back and read the four sermons that I preached in the month of August when we were talking about our regathering in the midst of all the pandemic and as we were opening up and getting things going. And I had preached four sermons from this passage, and the titles were Gather to Grow, Prepare for Service, Scatter to Disciple, and Repeat to Reap a Harvest. And I went back and read the transcripts, my manuscript actually, of all of those sermons. And I said to myself, I should just preach these again. I'm not going to do that. But what I would like to encourage you, if you were not here at that time or you weren't even affiliated with our church, it would be great. You can go to our website and look under Sermon Audio and find the series Awesome August from last year. And it's about those four sermons. And boy, they really, really do speak to what a Christian and what is a church supposed to be, how we're supposed to operate. Today, I want us to look at this again. Now, don't sit down for just yet. I want us to look at it again, and I want to put it in three simple statements. Step in, step up, and step out. And I'm going to take it right from this passage of Scripture, and I think it will make sense to you. Now, for years at Grace Church, we've had a little activity, an action step that we have done that kind of describes what we're about and what we're trying to do here at Grace Church. And it goes something like this. It goes, here's what we do. We bring people into the family of God. We build people up into the family of God. I had to figure out a way to do this. It's a circular repeated thing. So we prepare people for service in the family of God, and then we send people out from the family of God. And Chris Eller used to be on staff, and he used to say it this way. He'd say, yeah, we bring people in, we build people up, we prepare for them for service, and then we just kick them out. And so, but that's not exactly what we mean. But here's what I would like you to do. I'd like you to practice with me, because you need to get in your mind. It really does work. It's what we're really trying to do, and I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. What are we trying to do? Well, we're trying to bring people in. Now, folks, that means we actively, individually participate in the idea of bringing people, yes, to faith in Jesus, but also into the family so that they can grow and learn together and have a connection with God and His people. So let's say it again. We bring people in. We build them up. Now, that means that we teach them. See, I'm stopping you for a minute because I don't want these just to be motions without knowledge. And we want to teach them everything that the Lord has commanded us. That's what the Great Commission says. And then we prepare them for service. Teach faithful men that they'll be able to teach others also. And then we send them out like they did from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we do. Now, let's get in gear and let's do this. Ready? We bring people in. We build people up. We prepare them for service. And we send people out. Now, if you don't get active, I'm going to make you do it by yourself up here on the platform. We bring people in, build people up, prepare people for service, and we send people out. Would you be seated? You say, well, that's cute. I wonder if that really means anything. Listen. Let me read this to you. Josh and Janice Collier are missionaries in a closed country. Brad Edinburn is pastoring on a reservation. Paul and Shannon Bryan have gone to help church plant support on that reservation. Brandon and Rachel Blessman are church planters in Chicago. Ryan and Amanda McCoy have a ministry training center in Montana. Jake and Sarah Herring are pastoring a young church here in Iowa, helping pastor. Matt Linzer and Shannon are pastors in Sheraton. Mark and Maria Gatto Taylor are church planting worship leaders here in the metro. Bree Turner with Zach Simpson are missionaries. Mitch McCarl and wife are a youth pastor. pastor. Eric and Andrea Warren were missionaries in China, now missionary pastor in Ames. Joe and Ashley Hoover are house missionaries in a foster home ministry. Matt and Ruth Hayton are full-time pastoring in Norwalk. Izzy Schrock Wooton is part-time in Iowa City at Veritas Church. Wyatt English is preparing for ministry. Nathan Devon Blessman and Davidson are preparing for missions. Seth Placencia is preparing for ministry. Giorgio Rossi is preparing for ministry. And oh yeah, we kicked Jerry Van Cleve out and sent him to jail. We really are trying to do this. We're trying to bring people in, build people up, and prepare people for service because he is worthy of messengers, isn't he? And this is what we're trying to do. Well, today, I want to just change the vocabulary a little bit and try to reinforce this in your mind that what we're doing is serious. It's enjoyable. It's a blessing. It's encouraging. It's the way to be encouraged and built up in the family. But there is something that we're trying to do. Yes, bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved and have an eternity in heaven with him. Yes. But I had somebody tell me a long time ago, Phil, make sure that you're not trying just to win souls. Make sure you're trying to win soul winners. Help people become reproductive in the Christian faith. Folks, this is so very, very important. That little connect card that you have that I gave you says step in, step up, and step out. It's a new way of saying what we're really trying to do here at Grace Church. Folks, the COVID pandemic has had both negative and positive effect in the church. And I mean the church with a capital C, not just this church. I'm talking about the one in the whole world. Sadly, some people have just fallen away from attendance completely. They're not watching on television, live stream, and they're not attending anymore. They began watching via live stream or Facebook Live, but they've dropped off. They faded. After a year, they looked around and they decided, well, I don't feel any worse for the wear. I haven't been going to church. I don't seem like I'm doing anything. Nothing's happened. Nothing bad has happened yet. I think I'll just stay the way I am. Well, I'm very, very sad about that. We pray that they reconnect before those decisions have dire consequences in their family, in their life, in their own personal life, in their spirituality. You wake up one day and find out that like a boat unhitched from the dock, they floated a long way from God and his people and will have a hard time getting back. Some people, because of age or underlying conditions or they're waiting on a vaccine, have been using online and they're very faithful to do it. Many of you today, even in chat rooms, said, hey, it's my first day back. I've watched every week online, but I feel like I can come back now. We praise the Lord for it. For those of you that are continuing online, God bless you. Stay tuned in. We're going to keep using this and doing this. But for many, that's the only option for them at the moment. Now, there are some positives to this pandemic. I believe this. I believe the church is being purified. I think we're finding out whether faith or fear is going to rule in our lives. I think one thing that we have done is we found out the value of fellowship and Christian community. We really have. I don't know what has blessed me more than actually being able to see you. Do you remember when we first, after the 5 week or whatever it was, total shutdown when it was live stream only, we came back. And I just remember the people coming. It's very restrictive. I mean, every other pew and 6 feet apart. We actually had these big pieces of cardboard that we laid that were 6 feet long. So you'd have to make sure everybody had masks on. I don't think there's five masks in the whole room. Anyway, but we came in one door, went out another, and everybody walked in, didn't want to touch anybody, waving hi, hello. But you know, what has been absolutely wonderful is just to renew the fellowship, renew the interaction, talking. Jonathan and Andrew were making fun of chat room a little bit earlier and the stuff in it. But you know, it's awesome to be able to grab a donut again. It really is. It's great to be able to just talk and sit down. We have found the value of Christian community. And sometimes when things are taken away, they mean more than ever. And as well, I sense something else. I sense an openness among people that were really not open to spiritual or gospel conversations before. The world, I think, in general knows that something's going on. You know, there's a pandemic, there's social unrest, there's just you name it. There's just all kinds of things going on. And I know this, when a crisis hits in our lives, priorities are clarified. Last year in August, when the derecho blew through, and just really shook this city and shook central Iowa to the point that it did under the state of Iowa. Nobody was running for their plasma TV. nobody was trying to find, you know, their video games and get them in a sack so they could take. No. Everybody was, where's my husband? Where's my wife? Where's my children? Where's my dad? Where's my friends? You know, it's people. And so it is so incredibly important that we understand this. The social unrest, government overreach, impending restrictions on freedoms of speech, religion, things of the sort, people begin to get serious. And I have to say that in one sense, I welcome it, because it is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to get serious about its calling and its purpose. You know, we have a reason to exist here at Grace Church that serves us very well. We exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ across the street and around the world. That's what we're about. Can you say that with me? We exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ across the street and around the world. That has served as our grid and our funnel for many years in ministry. You say, what does that mean, grid and funnel? Well, if it's not about bringing people into God's family and making disciples of Jesus Christ, whether it's across the street and around the world, if it won't fit into that, it kind of won't fit in our funnel and it won't pass through our grid. And I know there's wonderful opportunities and wonderful ministries and parachurch organizations all over the place that are doing great stuff. But our mission is a little bit more narrow. We really do want to stick with the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and we put it through that grid. It's so important for us to own this. The time is right. The harvest is right for churches to stand strong, shine the light, and proclaim Jesus. And so I just want to reiterate that God's A plan, B plan, C plan, D plan, E plan, and all the way through the alphabet plan, God's plan for reaching the world is the local New Testament church as it is planted and reproduced all over the world. God is doing His work through churches and through the people like Colin and people like him that are just giving their best and leaving everything else to God. We do our best to bring people into God's family and to build them up and to prepare them for service and to send them out. This is what we do as a church. And it's so important for us to understand this. So we invite you. You're here today. You're checking us out. You say, hey, I've been coming a few weeks. I'm going to go to this luncheon today and everything. And I'm just trying to find out what we're about. Well, we'd like you to step into Grace. And that just means, first of all, come. Verse 36 and 37. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Look at verse 37. And now when they heard this, we want you to come and we want you to listen. Just show up, come and listen. Listen to what is being taught, what is being preached, what is being shared. Listen to the shared experiences of men and women, of teenagers. Listen as we learn together. It is so important. Hear our message. We preach Christ, Christ Jesus, and Him crucified. We're not ashamed of the cross of Christ. We're not ashamed to stand and say that it is Jesus who died and was buried and rose again that changes everything. The fact that He died for us. We preach the cross. We preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Here at Grace, we want you to listen because we don't have any hobby horses. We don't have any pet subjects. We do not have a denominational macro that we have to bend the Bible to support. You say, what do you mean by that? What I mean is that, you know, we're historically, this is a Baptist church historically, but we're not trying to bend the Bible to fit everybody's ideas. We're trying to submit to the Bible, find out what does it say, what does it mean, and what do we do about it. You say, what is this church about? I just told you. We're about submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ and the Word He has given us through His Word. We preach and teach Jesus and Him crucified. So hear our message and then understand our mission. We exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ across the street and around the world. We get it right from the Scriptures. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. That just paraphrase says, under the authority of Jesus, we teach the gospel near and far. We baptize converts and we seek to teach them everything. Folks, we're not trying to see how fast we can get this done. We're not trying to see if we can, you know, get this done and move on to the next thing. No. This is the lifelong, history-long, forever-long endeavor of this church, is to keep teaching each other everything. You say, well, is that a lot? It's the whole Bible. How long is it going to take? We're never going to get done. How many of you know everything about every verse, every chapter, every book in the Bible? You know everything there is to know. Is there anybody out there? No, I've been preaching and teaching this for a long time, and I feel like I know less today than I did when I first started. I'm telling you, I'm learning and growing in grace personally, and we're supposed to do this. It's not fast, it's not easy, but it's crucial, and it guides everything we do. So come, listen, respond. Respond. Look at that verse again. Verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, that's so very important. Because the Bible is like that. The Bible gives us a message. Then the Holy Spirit helps us understand it. And then we're motivated to do something with what we hear. So we come, we listen, we respond to the gospel. Look what it says in verse 38. Peter said to them, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And so respond. Now we have a couple of simple ways to respond. I'm going to get to that point in just a moment. But in order to step into grace, I mean, this sounds really silly, but I want to encourage you, as Chris has said time and again and many others, just download the app on your phone and find out all about Grace Church. All the information, all the news, all the opportunities, all the places to connect, groups, etc. It's there. Download that app and then find out information about us so that you know how you can do it. And then fill out the profile so that we know who you are and know that you're here. No obligation for you in filling out a profile. And then the next one is to, as we've said already, we mentioned it earlier, and I'm going to mention it again, attend a Welcome to Grace Luncheon. Now we do these from time to time. We try to keep it to 40 or 50 people. And today we happen to be doing another one. You say, well, I'm here today and I didn't get an invitation or I forgot to respond to it. Can I still come? Yes, right after this service you can come. We'll just put more water in the soup and it'll be fine. You just come, all right? And so we'll just have a good time. So it requires no commitment to just come. You'll come and you'll listen. But here's the deal. You respond. You see, Peter began preaching this sermon back in verse number 14. There had been a huge commotion in the city of Jerusalem. It started in an upper room at a prayer meeting, and the Spirit of God, as was promised, fell on that group that was praying. Tongues of fire appeared on them. They were given the gift to be able to speak in languages that were not their own. They poured out into the streets and they were glorifying God, praising Him and speaking the gospel. And people were listening. It drew a crowd. And then Peter stood up and says, let me give you a little explanation. And he preached Jesus. He preached the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and that they had crucified Him, and that the Father had planned it from the beginning, and if they would repent and be baptized and follow the Lord, they would be saved. Now listen to this morning. Responding to what you hear is normal. The people in the crowd responded to the speech, to the sermon, by saying, what shall we do? You know, on the road to Damascus, Saul, who became Paul, was stopped at noon, right there with the noon sun shining. He saw a light brighter than any light he'd ever seen, and it stopped him. It blinded him for a time. And when he understood that God was talking to him, he said to Jesus himself, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? When he understood who Jesus was and he gave his heart to him and his life, he said, what would you have me to do? Folks, there's always something to do. There's something to learn. There's something to apply. It's not just learn, and never do. We learn and do. And so this is the way we're supposed to behave as we come and we learn. So we're stepping into grace. Then we step up at grace. We step up. You say, what's that about? Well, look at verse number 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Well, the first thing you can do in stepping up is that you can become a believer. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can believe and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse number 39 says, to as many as the Lord our God will call. He calls on us. And when He calls on us through His gospel, we turn around and call back on Him. And we say, Lord, save me from my sin. And that's the first step. That's the first step for any single person. That is to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, because you were born in America, born in a Christian family, or your mom and dad used to say prayers at supper, does not mean you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're on your road to heaven. Only personally, when you individually understand that you're separated from God and you call out to Him in faith. Just like Peter preached on Pentecost, I could say the same thing to us today. Believe and be saved. Then next, be baptized in public profession. Believe and be saved, and then be baptized as a public profession of faith. Now, we profess our faith publicly by baptism. Verse 41 again. Only, now listen to this, I'm going to shock you. Only saved people make up the church. Only baptized people make up the church. You say, what? I'm just telling you what the Word of God teaches. They were believers, and they were baptized, and they were added to the church. You can go all the way through the New Testament, that's the pattern. I want to say to you that the New Testament doesn't know anything about unbaptized, unattached, that is, non-member status people. Baptism, folks, does not decide our salvation, but baptism does declare our salvation. Now, I want to talk at length about this in a sermon coming up very soon. In fact, I'm going to have to. Next Sunday, the 18th, it's going to be Baptism Sunday at Grace Church. Because, listen, God's been working around here, and there's been a lot of people come to faith in Jesus, and next Sunday's going to be fun. I just want to tell you that. There's a lot of people coming that are going to profess their faith in baptism. But I want to say this, only saved people get baptized. You said several things. Only saved people make up the church. Only baptized people make up the church. And now you're saying only saved people get baptized. What do you mean by that? Well, whatever was done to you or for you at any time in your life, before you believed the gospel for yourself, was not Bible baptism. Let that sink in. Let me say it again. Whatever was done to you or for you at any time in your life before you believed the gospel for yourself was not Bible baptism. Go through the scriptures. Only people who with the knowledge in their own heart and mind that they were separated from God because of sin, who came to Him in faith and said, Lord, save me from my sin. Only those people had anything to profess. And they professed Christ publicly after they had trusted Jesus to be their personal Savior. We identify with Christ. We display the fact that we have died with Him to sin and have risen with Him in victory over death. We identify then with His people, the church, and become part of that family of believers. All of it pictured in baptism. Death to sin, burial to the old life, resurrection to a new life and a new identity in life in Christ. We are in union with Christ and union with His family. That's Bible baptism. It comes after we're saved. And both of those, belief and baptism, are necessary before there is partnership. Then become part of the community group. Become part of a community group. You say, well, is this in the Bible? Look at verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. In prayers. Look down at verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Folks, you have to open up to relationships with other people and smaller groups of people in order to be able to fulfill and do and perform and enjoy the one another's of the Scripture. Listen to this. This is the New Testament teaching about interpersonal relationships in Christ in a local New Testament church. We are supposed to comfort one another, build one another up, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, meet with one another regularly, care for one another, minister to one another, show hospitality to one another, pray for one another. And that just scratches the surface. There's so many more one another's. You say, well, how do you do that? If you had to stand and name 25 people in this room this morning, could you do it? If you had to stand and name 10 people in the room outside your family and outside the person in front of you, could you do it? You see, this is the point. We're talking about relationships. Now, you may visit our church and come for a while and say, you know, I like that old boy up there. He preaches and he just, you know, even if he's got a T-shirt on, he just preaches the Bible. That guy, he's okay. And so maybe you like the preaching. Maybe you like Pastor Michael and the music ministry. It's variety. Changes it all the time. Different leaders, different singers, different participation. Sometimes special, sometimes congregate. Oh, I just love the music over there. You might like the chat room. They got the best donuts in town. I don't know. But the youth ministry, you just like it. But let me tell you a little secret. I can almost gauge the length of your stay here by whether you get in a group of people and begin to have interaction with people that know you and you know them and begin to do the one another's of Scripture. I've been doing this long enough to know that nothing will keep you in a church, keep you active and fulfilled and fulfilling the Great Commission yourself, like partnership with other people. Paul talked about it in Philippians chapter 1. He praised God for the Philippians for their partnership in the gospel. Partnership. Let's get in this thing together. Do you need a smaller group of people? Become part of a community group. Because we gather to grow, verse number 42. They continued steadfastly. Christianity is a community experience. No lone rangers in the New Testament. We gather to learn. We could use these words, doctrine. We gather to participate. That's fellowship. We gather to share. That is break bread. If there's anything I've learned about this church, we gather to eat more than any church in the history of the world. Anyway, gather to break bread. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Ron Stubbs used to say it hadn't been a good meeting unless there's been eating. So anyway, we gather then to intercede for one another, to pray for one another. So this is what it means. Step in and then step up, get involved, get engaged, engage. Number three, and finally, step out with grace. I'm going to give you that word that is the 21st century most avoided word and concept, and that's the next one, be committed. Be committed. Well, I still like commitment. Okay. Uncommitted people are very difficult to give great responsibility to. You know, God the Father sent His Son into the world, and when Jesus came into the world, He said this every time anybody asked Him what was going on, what He was doing. When the Pharisees hammered Him and the Sadducees hammered Him, He said, look, what I see my Father do, that's what I do, and I always do what pleases my Father. I am committed to the will of my Father. When He was in Gethsemane and He was facing the cross and facing the moments of the 3 hours of separation from His Father, if there's any way to do this, Father, than this, please let it, if I could let this cup pass from me, please let it. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. You see, Jesus knew what it was to make a commitment. He went to the cross because of His commitment. We make lesser commitments, but we ought to be committed people. Unlike the culture around us, Christians are not afraid to be committed. Committed to a local body of believers in partnership. Never understate the value of a commitment. Be committed to the message of the cross. We never graduate from the gospel. We never graduate from the cross of Christ. If you're having trouble with anger, having trouble with unfaithfulness, having trouble with looking at the wrong things on the internet, if you're having trouble with your behavior, if you're having trouble with really loving people, if you're having trouble with being compassionate, where can it all be corrected? At the cross! Go to the cross and look at Jesus and see what He did for you and see that everything is corrected at the cross. Don't be committed to the message of the cross. Be committed to your new life in Christ. Your new life begins as a birth by grace through faith. And being born into the world is not all there is, folks. But we live and grow physically. And when we are born into the world spiritually, we're born again to eternal life. And that eternal life begins and partially is fulfilled on earth. I am experiencing right here, right now, because of the Spirit of God in me, eternal life. Mary and Martha were told, believe and you will live. Believe and you will never die. And if you do die, you will still rise again. Do you believe this? So that's the point. I have eternal life now, but I'm going to have it for eternity. And so what I need to do now is be busy about this eternal life with God while I am still alive. Be committed to your new life. Be committed to your companions in the faith. We're called out of the world as a group, but we're called together as a group. It's called a church. Now, folks, you did not go to church this morning. What? I'm telling you, you did not go to church this morning. The church got up and brushed its teeth and combed its hair, got in the car and came and gathered. And then the church was here. Look around the room. Just look all over the room. Look every direction. Look at all the people. Just look around. Look at these people. Point at them. Just point at that person. Say, look at this. Just look at them. Right. Just point everywhere. These people who are believers in Jesus are the church of God in the world. And then some of you are part of the church of God in Des Moines at Grace Church. Be committed to your companions. We're called out. We're called out of the world, but we're called together. Every time you say the word church, every time you say it, you're using a Greek word, which is ekklesia. And that word means assembly. So you're not a church without an assembly. It's so important. The church came together this morning. And the church will come together in smaller groups. But the church is always lived out in a community. Be committed to use your spiritual gifts. Be committed to use your spiritual gifts and abilities to serve the Lord in the local church. Folks, this is so exciting because this is not spectator central over here. Just come and watch. Church is not what's going on up on the platform. Church is not something you watch from a distance. Church is not something that, you know, these professionals do. No. Church is who we are. And church is what we're all doing. And church is when every part does its part. That's what the New Testament teaches in Ephesians chapter 4. So it's so important. And so we are committed to use our spiritual gifts. That's part of stepping out with grace because you're learning to use your gifts. Step out. You step up and you step out. Now, there's a meeting that's going to happen on Sunday, April the 25th at 10 a.m. I don't know where, but look on your app. You can find out where. There's a meeting at 10 a.m. and it's all about stepping out with grace, learning to use your spiritual gift, learning to get connected in that way. Be committed officially through partnership or membership. You say, well, I don't like this organized stuff and being a member of anything. Okay. Well, it's not a club. It's a living, breathing organism called the New Testament Church. But now listen to me for a minute. Look at verse number 47. They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So if he was adding to it, then there was a number that was being added to continually, and they had a list. Did you know that widows in the New Testament, 1 Timothy tells us, widows in the New Testament really couldn't be taken care of officially by the church unless they had been officially widows who had been participating in the church and helping other people during the time that they were able to do that. They are true widows and they're part of the number. It's interesting, isn't it? Did you know that pastors, elders, and deacons, Acts chapter 6, and also 1 Timothy chapter 2 and Titus chapter 2, did you know that pastors, elders, and deacons rise up from among the official group? That's where they come from. They're not imported. They don't come in from Mars. Well, I've seen a few pastors that might know. But anyway, I'm just simply saying that they rise up among us. Listen, we've got it in our mind that there's something negative about officially being a member. Well, folks, this church takes action from time to time on things, and we make statements like we did a few years ago concerning what is marriage. Do you remember that? We decided it was time for us to make a statement included in our Constitution. We had to have, I don't know what percentage, 95% of the church approval to do that. And it was only for members. It's so important for us to understand that this is valuable. It's time for the church to stand up and be identified. We meet at the church as the whole body. We observe two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We meet to admonish and stir one another to love and good works. We meet to offer our gifts as a whole to the body. And then we collaborate as a group to send and support missionaries and evangelists and church planting efforts around the world. We meet in smaller groups for that personal growth. It was just a two-touch ministry there in the temple and in their homes. They met. It's not about the location. It's about the activity. They learned doctrine. They shared fellowship. They took meals and celebrated the Lord's Supper. And they prayed. Boy, the elements of the New Testament church are not quite as fancy as the elements today, but they sure were effective. When a body of believers dedicates itself to Jesus and to one another in love and obedience, a healthy church is the result. And I want to tell you right now what this world needs is a bunch of healthy churches that is able to actually tell the truth and be ready to receive people in who they can then disciple so that they can be ready to help the world as well. Healthy churches. You know what, folks? I want to continually build a healthy church. Amen. I'm not using how big you want it to get. It's not about how big it is. I want to know how healthy it is. Is it healthy? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? Is it glorifying God? Folks, we're not trying to measure our church by our seating capacity. We're trying to measure our church by our sending capacity. Can we continue to raise people up and add them to the list? Can we continue to send people with the good news of the gospel? Some do it officially in an official capacity, but everybody is supposed to do it as we scatter every day of our lives to our jobs and our schools and our neighborhoods and among the people that we know. We're supposed to do this. Oh, it's so important. A healthy church You know, I just wonder, you know, at that time, that new church, the Lord could, He could trust that church to receive and include new people that were coming and to disciple them. Well, Grace Church, can we be trusted? Can we be trusted with new believers? Can we be trusted to make disciples? Can we be trusted to help people grow? And can we be trusted to perform and do and faithfully encourage one another through the one another's of the Scripture? There's nothing more beautiful than a fully functioning church. There's nothing more beautiful than a church that is undivided, a church that is committed to the same purpose, a church that has its focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory and not our glory, a church where the people come together and they truly, honestly love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. Oh, it is just so incredibly important. So let's summarize. Step into Grace. Learn about us. Download the app. Attend Welcome to Grace Luncheon. Step up at Grace. Engage. Get in a relational situation through the community groups. Step out with Grace. Join with us. And so everybody in the room, whether this is your first time in the door or whether you've been here for 40 years, there's a step to take. So let's step up, step in, step up, and step out. Step out for Jesus. Father, thank you for the time together in your house today. If there's one that's here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they'd come to know you today. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we step in, up, and out. Help us, this operating system that we have, to be effective. And we want to glorify you in Central Iowa. And we want to send people to glorify you to the ends of the earth. And help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.